television and radio and film are all manipulative, untrustworthy scum. You might be too, but for the moment, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Now the question is, how does someone like you actually break into the media and become a big tycoon like Ray Martin, Rupert Murdoch or Steven Spielberg? Well, as with most things that people try to pass off as difficult, it's actually a piece of cake. Now the current Verso method of witch hunting easy targets, misrepresenting footage and setting up innocent people may seem unfair, but it's also fun and much easier than it looks.
And the police.
Cause you're working for the man. You're working for the man.
Extended coffee breaks. Extended cigarette breaks. Bludging on the job. Slackness in the workplace may seem like one big joke, but in fact, it's costing Australia up to $1 billion each year in lost productivity. And if you don't believe it's a problem, just wait until you see our hidden camera footage. For our investigation, we chose an Australian workplace totally at random. For our investigation, we chose the Channel 9 A Current Affair office.
This is the hidden camera. The little compartment for the lens in there. We're going to see if we can take any footage of the A Current Affair star hard at work.
Unfortunately for Channel 9, me and my cameraman found a way in.
Don't ask us how we got in here, but we're just around the corner in that toilet, just around the corner from the Current Affair office. And I don't know, I've got one or two kind of suspicious looks.
After a little exploring, we found the Current Affair office, the heart of the tabloid TV industry. Although not too much evidence of industry here this morning. When we arrive, this office worker is sitting at her desk, distracted watching the telly. Her co-worker is glued to the TV too. And it looks like this man is a casual worker. So casual, he's taking a lie down. She's still glued to the television, and now he's nodded off. And where are their co-workers? That's right, around the corner in the Channel 9 canteen. Remember, this is 9:40 in the morning. Now your average coffee break may be 5 or 6 minutes long, but 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, 18 minutes later, they're still sipping away as if Australia owes them a living. Meanwhile, back at the office, she's still glued to the telly, while this employee turns a blind eye to a co-worker stealing office crockery. Later on in the show, we confront Ray with the cold hard facts. So there I was, driving away from Channel 9, and I started thinking to myself, hey, you basically can't trust anything on television. How it's all full of crap, how nothing is real. And then I thought to myself, hang on, who the hell am I to talk? I'm not even in this car at the moment. I'm here in a voiceover booth. I'm in a goddamn voiceover booth, pretending I'm in this car, pretending I'm thinking these thoughts. And I've got the gall to get indignant about other shows. But you know, when it comes to splicing and dicing and sacrificing a little bit of truth here and there, me and Ray aren't the worst offenders. Now when it comes to sleight of hand TV fraud, you can't go past ABC documentary filmmakers.
When I first arrived in the village, I was struck by the poverty and despair. I realized I'd hit the trifecta. Poor, black, and crippled. There were going to be some great shots here.
I've met many documentary filmmakers, and all of them have been pathological liars. Documentary filmmakers turn up the housing commission flats with a TV camera, a cameraman, three sets of lights, a monitor, a reflector, a sound guy and a 2 meter boom mic, and then claim everyone acted naturally because it was just a fly on the wall.
Action!
Documentary filmmakers make their subjects do 2 takes of real life so it's easier to edit later. Documentary filmmakers take wide shots of animals in the wild and then use zoo animals for the close-ups. Documentary filmmakers salivate at misery, making a documentary film is a highbrow version of staring at the handicapped kid on the bus. Documentary filmmakers go on about third world exploitation. Documentary filmmakers get African locals to translate for them, guide for them, set up interviews and carry around their camera bags, and then pay them Nike sweatshop rates for their services. A documentary filmmaker once told me, listen, what you do isn't documentary filmmaking. Like, that's an insult? Listen, I'd rather be caught with kiddie porn than caught with any evidence I was a documentary filmmaker. In fact, I'm going to get into a totally different line of filmmaking altogether. I'm going to get into snuff films. Snuff films starring documentary filmmakers. So when you planet-saving cinemagraphic geniuses wake up at 3 a.m. with my Colt 45 pistol lodged down your throat, remember, I'm going to have to shoot you in the face a few different times from a few different angles, so it's easier to edit later. So you've got your own short film. The next stage is actually getting people to see it. Well, you can enter it into every feral dead-end alternative film festival, or you can cut to the chase and get your film into the major video chains as a short feature before a latest release blockbuster. So how are you going to get your short film from here onto the hired video shop cassette? Well, you're just going to need a few simple household items. You're going to need 2 video recorders, you're going to need your short film, you're going to need a latest release Hollywood blockbuster, you're going to need a blank tape, and you're going to need a Phillips screwdriver. Now, you've got to make sure your short film really looks like it belongs on the tape. So firstly, film a close-up of a card like this and dub that onto the blank tape. The next thing you have to dub onto the blank tape is your short film. And the third thing, a copy of the latest release Hollywood blockbuster. Now it's time to open them up. Now unscrew the newly compiled tape. Unscrew the Video Shop cassette. Get rid of the Video Shop cassette ribbon. Put in your newly compiled ribbon. Screw it back up. And who the hell's to know? Return it to the Video Shop. And there you have it, your short film waiting to be viewed by thousands of happy renters. Now, having a movie on just one tape may sound a bit pointless and counterproductive, but if you dub it onto the start of 10 latest release videos, which will cost you just over $100, in a couple of months' time, according to video retailer statistics, your short film will have been viewed by well over 1,000 people. This is a friend of a friend of mine who was on Sale of the Century last year and was always bragging at parties that he cheated during the auditions. So how did you cheat your way onto Sale of the Century?
It's unbelievably simple. It's a written test held in this big church hall in Toorak. You go with a friend, and when the woman out the front reads out the questions, don't fill out anything, because they then ask you to swap your papers with the person next to you. So you swap with your friend, then as she reads out the correct answers, you fill out each other's sheets and tick everything. It's like grade 5.
But surely you must have to do some other test or something, like you just don't go straight from the audition to the show.
No, after you pass the test, it's all casting, and they're desperate for people under 40 on that show.
I sat the Sale of the Century audition a couple of months ago, and amazingly, the questions I got that night were the same as the ones that Bevan got over a year ago when he sat the audition. For example, Bevan swears he got the Bon Jovi question, question 5, Slippery When Wet, is the title of whose 1986 smash hit record, and Bevan also swears he got the Paul Kelly and the Messengers question, question 46. Anyway, I've compiled these answers, I've typed them out, and I'm going to be handing them out to lucky hopefuls on their way in tonight. So of the Century auditions, these should be some help.
Thank you.
Take these, and just up there. So of the Century auditions.
Thanks,
man. So of the Century auditions.
Yeah.
No worries. Please take one of those. It's just up there. Please take one of those. It's just up there. Please take one of those. And it's just up there. Hey, you. Hey. This is the Soul of the Century auditions.
Yeah.
I've got a... Just quietly, I've got a copy of the answers if you don't have a quick squeeze at me.
Trying to give up, cheating, mate.
Just quietly, I have the answers here. If you'd like to, it'll just give you... But I'm sure you'd make it anyway. This is just going to help you along a bit. So, mate. Like some Soul of the Century answers.
I've got our own plan.
Oh, really? What's your plan?
It's just the old swap the ancestry routine.
Really? So you're going to do that tonight?
Well, possibly, yeah.
It really doesn't matter, like, how smart you are. You're going to get on. This is going to help out. Don't worry about it. Things were going to plan, and then we were busted by the Grundy's police. Hello?
Are you handing out answers?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's, make
oh, you need the answers?
Is that the Grundy one?
Yes.
What's this for?
We're just filming.
Is there a reason? Is it a joke, or...?
Oh, no, we just want to help people out. And, like, give them the answers. If you've ever stayed up late and sat through rage, it's probably occurred to you that any knuckle-dragging moron can shoot a video clip. The camera can fly here, the camera can fly there, and no matter how shonky it looks, you can pass it all off as being intentionally arty. In fact, a 5-year-old kid could probably get a video clip on rage. And today, we're going to prove it. This is Siobhan. She's 5 years old. We gave her a video camera and took her around to wherever she wanted to go to shoot whatever she wanted to shoot. For music, we went to the nearest electronics store and pressed the demo button on a keyboard. Then got Siobhan's mother to ring up Rage and ask if they'd be programming it.
So when's it going to be on?
We then force-fed Siobhan a lot of red cordial and made her stay up till 3 in the morning to watch her work of art. Siobhan is now sleep-deprived and psychologically traumatised, but at least she's had a slip on Rage.
Okay, now getting a film onto the big screen may seem difficult. I mean, even Martin Scorsese found it difficult when Australia's biggest film distributors, Village Roadshow, decided not to distribute his big-budget Dalai Lama film, Kundun. All the usual conspiracy theories were thrown about, like with the Australian Tibet Council saying that Village simply didn't want to jeopardise its business interests in China. But, you know, if everyone's whining and complaining, distributor or no distributor, how hard can it be to get a Dalai Lama film onto the big screen?
We decided to put this to the test by filming our own pro-Tibet movie about the Dalai Lama reaching the end of his tether and finally resorting to violence on a village cinema rusher.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me.
The film industry is always trying to intimidate people with their fancy technical talk. IMAX Panavision 35mm THX, the audience is listening Dolby widescreen might, but all you need is the projector in the back of your mother's closet. An easier and cheaper option is an overhead projector borrowed from the office or the classroom. Cigarette companies feeling the pinch from the ban on cinema advertising may enjoy this low-cost alternative.
If you're
no one, or maybe you just want to wreck the film for everyone. As usual, Martin Scorsese just isn't trying hard enough.